Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is previews number 123 for the January 2018 previews catalog. Now, in this episode, as always, we'll be going over some of the items in previews you might find interesting. This is, of course, important because whether we like it or not, comics are a pre-order business. It takes time for these things to get printed. They want to print as close to what they have a demand for as possible. So by pre-ordering, or at least telling your retailer what you're interested in at this point in the game, for these things that are in January that'll be coming out in, say, March or whatever, it allows your retailer to order more accurately, which gives him a much better situation business-wise. It ensures you're likely to get the comics you want. And hey, it's kind of fun to know what's coming out in a couple of months. So, like I said, pre-order business, and really it comes down to, can you find the comics that are most enjoyable for you? And for every one of you guys, it's going to be a little bit different as to what fits into that category. What I may love, you may not, and vice versa. But hey, there's comics there for everybody. The goal here is to help you find the ones you're going to enjoy. Now, to do that, we have an open submission policy on these episodes. You, all of your friends, your retailers, and everybody you know are welcome and encouraged to send in clips each and every month. Because again, you may be able to pitch one of these books to somebody in a way that it's like, wow, I really ought to go get that. That's a win for everybody, including the person sending in the clip, because it means there's one more reader of that comic and it's that much more likely to stick around. And let's face it, there are literally thousands of items in previews each and every month, like 5,000 or 6,000 sometimes. And it's really easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. I can't tell you how many times I've been going through one previews and realized, wait, did I order the previous issue of this last month? Sometimes I just miss something, and particularly with new stuff, and that can make or break a comic. So send in clips, help people find what they're going to like, and it'll help you keep track of what you're interested in as well. Now, we're going to be starting at the beginning of previews and working our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights, and once again, those highlights are determined by the clips that I get in. So with that, let's get going. My first pick of the month is on page 30, and it is the previews catalog. And honestly, I'm probably just going to get in the habit of doing this every month because I can't tell you how much fun I have personally going through previews when I'm doing these episodes and as I'm prepping for these episodes of just looking at what cool stuff is coming out. Because, I mean, it's great to have the online solicits. It's great to go have the solicitation blurbs and whatnot. But having kind of the one-stop shopping where I can go through this catalog and at least get everything that's going through Diamond, which is not everything that's out there. And actually, we're going to have a clip later on about some other stuff that you can get outside of Diamond and hopefully through your local store. But just being able to kind of get that overview and see what's available and stuff. To me, it's like the old Sears Toys catalog when I was a kid and it was getting to Christmas time of, ooh, I want that, I want that, I want that, I want that, you know. And now I'm an adult and I've got a little bit of spare cash to spend on this stuff. So going through previews every month, I think is a lot of fun. And if you're on a limited budget, this can give you a good sense of what's out there and help you pick and choose what you want as carefully as you need to or want to, based on your budget of time, money, space, etc. So, like I said, the previews catalog, I know a lot of people, it's, oh, I don't want to pay for a catalog, etc. I get it, but man, it is so information rich. It is such a good resource for me, and frankly, just so much fun to go through. And almost every time I go through one, there's something I'll see an ad for, or I'll see the cover art or sample art or something, and I'll get something out of that that I wouldn't have gotten just hearing about it online or knowing it exists or whatever. That's enough to make me say, you know what? That art looks really cool. It works for me for whatever reason. I think I'm going to pick this up. And every time I add a comic that I really enjoy, that's a big win. Now, this isn't a surefire way to get everything you're going to enjoy because there are a lot of things that still fly under my radar, even going through this every month, but I can't imagine how many great things would completely sail past me if I didn't go through previews every month. So once again, that's my pick. I think it's worth getting. Your local retailer should definitely have a copy for the store, if nothing else. Ask them if you could just flip through it if you haven't seen one. Decide if it's good for you or not. For me, with the amount I get, it's absolutely essential. For you guys, it may not be, but at least check it out and see what you're missing. So once again, that's the previews catalog on page 30. Check it out.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with a pick from the Dark Horse section of the catalog. It's on page 58, and it is Dr. Star and the Kingdom of Lost Tomorrows from the world of Black Hammer, number one of a four-issue miniseries written by Jeff Lemire. Max Fiormarla did the art and the cover, and this is a 32-page for $3.99, first issue of a miniseries, the dual narrative story set in the world of the Eisner Award-winning Black Hammer series, chronicles the legacy of a Golden Age superhero. An aged crime fighter desperately wants to reconnect with his estranged son, who he hoped would one day take the mantle of Dr. Star. Over the course of the story, we learn his World War II-era origin, how he got his powers, his exciting astral adventures, the formation of some of Black Hammer's greatest heroes, and more in this heartbreaking superhero tale about fathers and sons. Okay, if you guys know the, and I always say guys when I mean guys and gals, it's so no offense to anyone, please. If you guys know the classic James Robinson Starman series, then that synopsis will sound very familiar to you. But what this is it's another miniseries by Jeff Lemire in the Black Hammer world. He's currently got one running, Sherlock, Frankenstein, and the Legion of Evil. Now comes another one, Dr. Star and the Kingdom of Lost Tomorrows. And, of course, Black Hammer is still going on with taking breaks for these miniseries. I guess we're going to call this the Lemire-niverse, and please, more of it. Jeff Lemire has just created something really neat in just a couple of years with this Black Hammer universe, and he doesn't have to just stick to the ongoing series. That has a plot that's very specific. I love that he's now stretching his wings and going into different other pockets of this universe. And not only does this intrigue the heck out of me, this new one, but look at that art. Isn't that art just ginchy? I recommend this. I recommend anything by Jeff Lemire when he is doing the writing himself and he's not just working for another company. And all power to him.
Hey guys, it's Heidi with Cosmic Times. So I'm in the previous catalog and I am looking at page 58. And this is Dr. Star in the Kingdom of Lost Tomorrows. The world of Black Hammer number one. What really caught my eye about this is the interior art. I am a total science nerd, and there's a lot of sciencey stuff in this, in the illustrations, in the art. I just think it's really beautiful. And the story is about a father and a son. So, does it get any better than that? I don't know. So this looks like something that would be worth checking out. And let me see here. Kudos to Max Fumara, who did the art. I think it's just spectacular. So kudos to him. It's only $3.99, and it's on page 58. So go ahead and check it out. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and a go-by Superman fan on the forums. And my first pick comes in the Dark Horse section on page 58 with Dr. Star and the Kingdom of Lost Tomorrows from the world of Black Hammer, number one of four. Jeff Lemire, writer. Max Fiumara, pardon me if I mispronounced that name. Story and cover artist. Dave Stewart, colorist. Jordi Belair, variant cover artist. And Declan Shalvey, who also does a variant cover. On sale March 7th, full color, 32 pages for $3.99, and this is a four-issue miniseries. This dual narrative story set in the world of the Eisner Award-winning Black Hammer series chronicles the legacy of a Golden Age superhero. An aged crime fighter desperately wants to reconnect with his estranged son, who he hoped would one day take the mantle of Dr. Star. Over the course of the story, we learn his World War II era origin, how he got his powers, his exciting astral adventures, the formation of some of Black Hammer's greatest heroes, and more in this heartbreaking superhero tale about fathers and sons. Now, I have yet to read the Sherlock Frankenstein miniseries, but I've loved Black Hammer, and I'm looking forward to reading this further exploration of the world of the Black Hammer superheroes, because Jeff Lemire and the rest of his team have done such a great job of exploring the superhero genre in a new and refreshing way. Back to you, John.
Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, again, this time on page 68 in the Dark Horse section of the catalog, and it's Milk and Cheese, Dairy Products Gone Bad. Milk and Cheese! I love Milk and Cheese! Evan Dorkin, he's the writer and the artist. His wife, Sarah Dyer, also helped on the cover. Milk and Cheese is hilarious. A carton of hate, a wedge of spite. A comic book of idiotic genius, the Eisner Award-winning dairy duo returns in this trade paperback collecting every single stupid Milk and Cheese comic ever made from 1989 to 2010. Those who aren't familiar with Milk and Cheese, it's really mostly in the 90s, very sporadic after that. These are like one-pagers or 3 to 5 pagers. So when you see 1989 to 2010, yeah, maybe he did a couple of things, in the 2000s, but this is mostly the 90s. From 1989 to 2010, along with a ton of supplemental awesomeness, this has everything you need. Don't judge it. Love it. Or else, the complete Milk and Cheese comics in an affordable trade paperback. A comprehensive book featuring the comics, the covers to the issues, pinups, even the art for the Milk and Cheese trading card set that came out in 1995, spread across 2 pages. Milk and Cheese is great. Evan Dorkin is great. He is such a cartoonist, and he is one of the rare cartoonists. He can make me laugh out loud consistently. That's why I also have three-dimensional Milk and Cheese magnets on my refrigerator for years. I hope they don't drop because they'll just break and I'll never be able to find them again. Evan Dorkin really is interesting. He really does have good commentary on the world, and sometimes he can be risque, but Milk and Cheese, they're hilarious. Search out a couple of them on the internet, see if you like that kind of humor, and then buy this book because I highly recommend it. I can read this over and over and over again. Evan Dorkin, actually is very opinionated artist writer as well on the comic book industry. Very interesting opinions. And if you follow his Twitter feed, I highly recommend his Twitter feed as well as Milk and Cheese Dairy Products Gone Bad. Get it.
And we're back with another episode of the Comic Book Pages Previews Edition. My name is Chris Brawley. I go by Brawlinator on the forums. My first pick is from the Dark Horse section. It's on page 69. This is the collected trade paperback edition of Evan Dworkin's Beasts of Burden, a miniseries from 2017 that effortlessly combined fantasy and humor to the adventures of paranormal pets investigating the horrors of their suburban community. Let me read the solicit. Black magic, demonic frogs, and zombie roadkill are just a few of the problems plaguing this seemingly sleepy little town. Beneath the quiet streets, a rat cabal plots vengeance, while in the local cemetery, the dead leave their graves. With the human residents unaware of the supernatural danger, it's up to a determined crew of dogs and one cat to keep their community safe. Lives will be lost and bonds forged as the beasts of Burden Hill battle against an unknown evil rooted within their town. This is from award-winning comics creator Evan Dworkin, who also did Milk and Cheese. It's right there on page 68. And Jill Thompson, who did the art on Scary Godmother. This trade reprints the 4-issue limited series, Beasts of Burden, the short stories from the Dark Horse Book of Hauntings, the Dark Horse Book of Witchcraft, the Dark Horse Book of the Dead, and the Dark Horse Book of Monsters. Stray, Unfamiliar, Let Sleeping Dogs Lie, and A Dog and His Boy, all published, of course, by Dark Horse Comics. This series got rave reviews when it came out. The artwork is beautiful. Check it out if you're interested. Again, it's on page 69 of this month's previews.
Hey, it's Drew, coming from the frigid and snowy Hocking Hills of Ohio. I believe today's temperature was one. So I don't want to hear from Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona about how nice it is, or Jason from Hawaii about how nice it is over there, because I've got one. Anyway, my first pick, Usagi Yojimbo number one from Dark Horse Comics. This is written by Stan Sakai and art by, yep, you guessed it, Stan Sakai. And he's doing a miniseries, a 7-issue miniseries. Usually, Usagis are usually one and done. Sometimes they take 2 issues to complete. But for this, he's going to do a 7-issue story, and it's going to be launched as a mini and not within his own title. So, interesting choice. Not sure what the impetus is for this, but it'll be a nice standalone trade when it's done, I'm guessing. And if you've been wanting to check out Usagi, this might be a great place to jump on. If you found the large numbers daunting and didn't want to jump in the middle of a long-running series, this might be the place for you to hop on. So check this first issue of the 7-parter, Usagi Yojimbo number 1. Tell them Drew sent you.
Billy Hogan again. My second pick in this month's previews comes on page 75, still in the Dark Horse section, with Usagi Yojimbo The Hidden, number 1 of 7. Stan Sakai, writer, story, and cover artist, on sale March 21st. It's black and white, 28 pages for $3.99, and it is a miniseries. Since Drew has also picked this issue, I'll spare you having to listen to me read the solicit, and I'll just say that one of the things I enjoy about Usagi Yojimbo is I like exploring other genres than just superheroes, and this does it in a great way. Not only is it a different genre, but we look at a different culture in Japan and its mythology. And he does it using anthropomorphic characters. So I always enjoy Usagi Yojimbo each month. If you've never read Usagi Yojimbo before, I would recommend you pick up this issue. Since this is a miniseries, it's a great way to sample Usagi Yojimbo. Back to you, John.
My next pick is on page 75. It is Usagi Yojimbo The Hidden, number 1 of 7. And Drew and Billy have already talked about this. All I can say is I think Stan Sakai is a wonderful creator, a great guy. He's doing some amazing work on this. It is all ages. It is a period piece book with an anthropomorphic style that is just a ton of fun to read every month. This is one that, honestly, I knew about this title back in its early days. I had a high school friend who was reading it. And just, you know, at the time, I wasn't right for it. It wasn't right for me, or I just didn't check it out. Whatever. In hindsight, that's a recommendation I wish I had taken up and started picking up the book way back then, possibly even in the single-digit issue numbers, versus I didn't get onto it till about issue 116. It was far too late for me. I think it's a terrific book. This should be a great jumping on point. Once again, it's Usagi Yojimbo, The Hidden, number 1 of 7, on page 75 of the previews catalog. Check it out.
Brawlinator again, and my next pick is on page 89 of the previews catalog. It's the Immortal Men number 1 from DC Comics. This is what's being billed as the new age of DC heroes. It was formerly known as Dark Matter, which is an artist-driven initiative designed to introduce both new and classic characters into the rebirth era of the DC universe. In many cases, picking up the breadcrumbs left behind by the Dark Days and the current Dark Knights metal events. As part of this initiative, DC co-publisher Jim Lee, along with artists Scott Williams and James Tynion IV, who is currently writing Detective Comics, are teaming up to create The Immortal Men, a series about, you guessed it, the DCU's immortal characters. Let me read the solicit. It's the end of Forever Part 1. There is a secret history to the DC universe of heroes who have protected humanity from the shadows since the dawn of time and who can live forever. Enter the Immortal Men. The team headed by the Immortal Man has waged a secret war against the House of Conquest for countless years, but Conquest has dealt a devastating blow. When their base of operations, known as the Campus, is savagely attacked, the Immortal Men must seek out their last hope, an emerging metahuman known as Caden Park. Caden's emerging powers may be able to ensure the Immortal Men's survival, but will Conquest get to him first? Hey, it's a heck of a creative team, but I don't know what I think of the premise just yet. Make up your own mind and check out the solicit for yourself. It's found over on page 89 of this month's previews catalog.
Billy Hogan again. My third pick comes this time in the DC Comics section on page 93 with The Terrifics number 2, written by Jeff Lemire, art and cover by Ivan Reis and Joe Prado. Meet the Terrifics, Part 2. Tom Strong has disappeared, and the Terrifics have found his emergency beacon. But to save anyone else, Mr. Terrific, Metamorpho, Phantom Girl, and Plastic Man must first save themselves from the dark multiverse they're trapped within. Not to mention the gigantic alien monster they've been standing on this whole time. On sale March 28th, 32 pages, full color for $2.99. I haven't read a lot of Tom Strong, but what I have, I really enjoyed, so I'm looking forward to seeing how he's integrated into the DC universe. Plus, being a Legion fan, I'm excited to see a Legion character brought back. And, of course, I've enjoyed Metamorpho ever since I first saw an ad for his title, short-lived title, back in the mid-1960s, so I'm looking forward to checking out this miniseries. Plus, what's not to like about Plastic Man? Back to you, John.
It's Drew with a pick from DC's Young Animal imprint. This is Shade the Changing Woman, number 1, written by Cecil Castellucci, with art by Marley Zarconi and Jamie Coe, and a cover by the great Becky Cloonan. Shade the Changing Girl was the only Young Animal title that I stuck with. They all lost me, and to be quite honest, Shade the Changing Girl was also a bit out there, pretty weird, pretty wacky. I'm curious as to what this is going to be. When we left Shade the Changing Girl, she was in an interesting state, so I'm guessing that's where the Changing Woman is occurring and should be fun. That's kind of the best part. We're hopefully going to get away from a lot of that alien stuff, which was the boring stuff for me. So if you've stuck with Shade the Changing Girl this long, you'll probably check this out. But if you haven't, maybe this will be a more accessible, interesting title for you to at least sample and check out. So if any of that sounds interesting, Shade the Changing Woman, number 1, from DC Comics. Check that out.
Billy Hogan again. My fourth pick comes still in the DC Comics section on page 98 with Action Comics, number 999. Written by Dan Jurgens, art and cover by Brett Booth and Norm Ratmond, variant cover by Francis Manapole. The General. Superman's journey through time has crashed to a halt, and at the end of the line, General Sam Lane stands face to face for the first time with his grandson, John. Buckle up, because the most awkward super family reunion in history is about to begin. On sale March 14th, 32 pages full color for $2.99. And with a solicit like that, what's not to look forward to? It seems that it's going to be an action-packed issue while still being a very personal story with Superman, John, and General Sam Lane. Back to you, John.
This is Takasel from Phoenix, Arizona, with a pick from the DC section of the catalog on page 105, and it's Batman White Knight number 6, written by Sean Murphy, art and cover by Sean Murphy, variant cover by Sean Murphy. This is by Sean Murphy, if you hadn't figured that out. Gotham City's strongest alliance comes to an end when Gordon's trust in Batman reaches its limit. On the verge of resignation, the commissioner attempts a final act of public service, but an unlikely intervention allows the Dark Knight to fight another day. Meanwhile, Jack's mission takes a hit when his pills lose effect. And under cover of all this chaos, Neo Joker is positioned to take the city hostage. This is issue 6 of an 8-issue miniseries. The reason I mentioned this one is because I came to this miniseries a bit trepidatious. I like Sean Murphy's art. There's nothing other than his art that would have intrigued me to this. So I said, all right, I'll try the first issue. I got that first issue. I saw a lot of words. Artists just love writing. Whenever an artist does his own writing, they just use a lot more words than writers do. So I saw a lot of words. I saw the basic concept. Oh, it's going to be the Joker becomes good and he's going to go after the Dark Knight, you know, in this Elseworlds universe. And, it seemed like a cliche plot line. I figured I'll read the first issue and then I'll probably be out. But no, it grabbed me. Issue 1 grabbed me. Issue 2 grabbed me. Issue 3 grabbed me. Every issue, despite having to slog through a lot of words, it's not slogging. It's great. And as each issue ends, I just want to get to the next issue. This will be a great read when all 8 issues are collected, but I don't want to wait for that. And so, I keep buying these issues. I keep loving them. And, this is issue number 6. I highly recommend you get them in issues and not wait for the book, because the book's not going to be out for a while. Okay, everyone, have a great time.
My next pick is on page 114. It is Detective Comics number 976. This is start of Batman Eternal, which of course the title is a callback to the Batman Eternal weekly series they did. This obviously is quite a bit different though, but it's dealing with, I think, the relationships between the various members of the de facto team that Detective Comics has had of late. This issue specifically, Batman and Red Robin, Tim Drake. Big fan of Tim Drake here, so looking forward to this. I'm loving what they've been doing on this title. I think James Tynion IV has been just knocking it out of the park here, and I'm looking forward to what direction this takes. The relationship, the Tim Drake character, where they're going with all of this. I think it's a ton of fun. I think you should be checking it out. Once again, that's Detective Comics number 976 on page 114. My next pick is on page 124. It's Justice League of America number 27. This is part one of the Dawn of Time storyline. And in it, we've got Kronos, a longtime villain of the original Atom. Although, frankly, I don't know what his origin is in this world, because I'm not sure how long Ray Palmer was the Atom, whatever. Anyways, Kronos, who's a time-traveling supervillain, and he's in his, actually, it looks like a new version of his old original-style goofy costume with the white mask with the clock face kind of a thing. Anyways, I don't know if he's got the cape. I don't know if this is new or old or whatever. It's a time-travel story. It may be both. I don't know. Either way, Kronos says, you know what, this Justice League is getting in the way of me conquering the world or whatever, so why not travel back in time and prevent the Justice League from being, or at least the Justice League of America. Now, I don't know if he's thought it through enough to think, okay, well, then you've got to take out the Titans, the Outsiders, the other Justice Leagues, you know, whatever. But I like time travel. I'm actually a fan of Kronos, and they've been doing some fun stuff on this Justice League of America title. This looks like a fun storyline, so I'm going to check it out. I think you should too. Once again, that's Justice League of America number 27 on page 124.
Billy Hogan again. My 5th and 6th picks comes this time still in the DC Comics section on page 132 with Superman number 42 and 43, written by Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason. Art and covers by Patrick Gleason. Variant covers by John Boy Myers. Boy Zorro Redeath Part 1. It's a bizarre Boy Zorro world and we just live in it. When Superboy comes face to face with Boy Zorro, the son of Bizarro, a strange transformation begins to take place. But that's not all that the Kents have knocking on their door. Superman versus Bizarro, Round 1, am not just the beginning. Boy Zorro Redeath Part 2. What do you get when you try to fit a boy from a square planet into a round one? Boy Zorro, Superboy, and Kathy try to keep the lid on their Bizarro-sized can of worms as Boy Zorro tears a rage-filled path of destruction from Metropolis to Hamilton and beyond. But what happens when Superman and Bizarro find out what their kids have been up to? Issue 42 on sale March 7th. Issue 43 on sale March 21st. Each issue is 32 pages, full color for $2.99. I've always loved Bizarro ever since the Superman 80-page issue featuring all Bizarro stories, which I remember my dad getting me in a drugstore in Ocala, Florida. So I'm looking forward to this storyline, because if you're a Silver Age fan like I am, especially of Superman, what's not to like about Bizarro? Back to you, John.
Hey, John, this is Nick Fenner with my first pick of the month. This is from the DC section of previews on page 132. Superman, issues number 42 and 43. Written by Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason, this is the beginning and second part of story arc, Boy Zorro Re-Death. Solicitation for number 42 reads, "It's a bizarre Boy Zorro world, and we just live in it. When Superboy comes face to face with Boy Zorro, the son of Bizarro, a strange transformation begins to take place. But that's not all the Kents have knocking on their door. Superman vs. Bizarro Round 1 am not just the beginning." Now, I've really enjoyed Superman in the Rebirth era, especially when Tomasi and Gleason are on the title. Just really seems to click on all cylinders. And their adventures really seem to focus on Jonathan Kent, Superman's super son. So it really should be interesting to see how the classic Superman and Bizarro matchup will extend to their sons.
Hi, everybody. This is Jerry. I'm on page 141 in the catalog in the DC section, and I am looking at Scooby Apocalypse number 23, written by Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis with art by Ron Wagner. And the solicit reads, "With their new base of operations established, the gang begins the search for the last remnants of the human race. In their quest to find survivors, they encounter creatures who aren't mindless savages, and the discovery just might tear the team apart. Also, the next chapter in the outrageous adventures of Secret Squirrel." I know Scooby Apocalypse is a very controversial title, but I must admit, I've been on this since issue one, and I've really enjoyed the ride. It's just a different take, an Elseworlds type take on Scooby-Doo and the gang, and the post-apocalyptic landscape. And hey, I know it's different strokes for different folks, but I enjoy this book. And it's just kind of fun. I'm a huge fan of Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis. And another feature of this book that many people may not be aware of, as was mentioned at the end of the solicit, for the last several months, there has been a backup story featuring Secret Squirrel and come spy adventures of Secret Squirrel. I know many of the Hanna-Barbera books DC's been putting out, Rough and Ready and Snagglepuss and Jetsons and all that stuff, but I don't know how many people were aware of these Secret Squirrel stories being presented in the back of Scooby Apocalypse. And they're kind of fun and interesting. They're also written by Giffen and DeMatteis. And the latest issue featured Howard Chaykin on art for Secret Squirrel. So anyway, to me, I like it. It's fun. And that's Scooby Apocalypse number 23 from DC Comics.
Brawlinator again, and from my next pick, I'm still in the DC section. Over at the bottom of page 155, it's the Round Robin storytelling extravaganza titled The Kamandi Challenge. A creation of Jack Kirby, the post-apocalyptic Earth of Kamandi has been a fan favorite for decades. And in this limited series, 14 teams of writers and artists took the title character on a quest to find his long-lost parents. Each chapter would lead to a cliffhanger, leaving the next creative team to resolve that twist before creating their own. This hardcover edition will collect the entire series, featuring some of the greatest creative pairings ever seen in comics, including Peter J. Tomasi and artist Neil Adams, Jimmy Palmiotti and artist Amanda Connor, James Tenney IV and artist Carlos Donda, And hopefully it will also include that bonus epilogue from issue 12 about legendary creator Len Wein, who we lost in 2017, along with art from Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. The Commandy Challenge isn't just a celebration of the legendary Jack Kirby. It's really one of the most unique experiments in industry history. Check it out for yourself on page 187 of this month's previews. This is the hardcover edition.
Billy Hogan again. My seventh pick comes in the Vertigo part of the DC section on page 157 with Astro City number 51, written by Kurt Busiek, art by Brent Anderson, and cover by Alex Ross. Our three-part look into the lives of Astro City's survivors continues. A woman coping with a devastating loss joins the support group Michael Tenasek has been running for years. But will Michael help her, or will she tear the group apart? For those damaged by life in Astro City, hope and wonder are elusive things. Featuring Honor Guard, The Hanged Man, and more. On sale March 21st, 32 pages, full color for $3.99. Now this solicit is a perfect example of what Astro City does best. Looking at the superhero genre in ways that DC and Marvel normally won't or can't really go into, because they're trying to market their characters in ways that they can then translate them into other media like movies, video games, and whatnot. But Astro City peeks in various corners of the superhero universe to explore the consequences of not just what happens to a hero through his career, but people, regular people, having to live their lives in a world full of superheroes and supervillains. In this issue, we look at some of the aftermath of that, which is one reason I've come back to Astro City month after month. Back to you, John.
This is Nick Fenner with my second pick for the month. On page 157 in the previews catalog, also from the DC section, I'm looking at a really great Alex Ross cover here showing some sort of alien or Spider-Man type monster crouching over a victim in the sewers somewhere with several other victims hanging from the ceiling. And this is Astro City number 51, written by Kurt Busiek and art by Brent Anderson. Astro City makes its return after, I believe, a few months off this month. On sale March 21st. The story looks to feature a look at some of the survivors of Astro City. It says, a woman coping with a devastating loss joins the support group. Michael Tenasek has been running for years, but will Michael help her, or will she tear the group apart? For those damaged by life in Astro City, hope and wonder are elusive things, featuring Honor Guard, The Hanged Man, and more. Now, I got onto reading Astro City probably about 10, 15 issues ago after hearing John and Drew really talk well about the series, and I haven't been disappointed at its pretty much one-shot look at a really great and innovative superhero universe.
This is Jerry, and I'm on page 164 in the catalog in the IDW section, and I'm looking at Bubba Hotep and the Cosmic Bloodsuckers, number one. Wow, who would have ever thunk it? Bubba Hotep was a movie put out by Don Coscarelli, the man behind Phantasm series, and this was put out, 15 years ago or so, and it was the story of Bruce Campbell is Elvis Presley, who didn't die, who has been basically in hiding, and he's at this old folks home, and wears his big gold rimmed glasses and wears a cape while he tools around in a wheelchair. And another resident at the old folks home is John F. Kennedy, who, following the assassination, his brain was transplanted into a body of an African-American man played by Ossie Davis. So you have Elvis Presley and John F. Kennedy at an old folks home, and they soon discover there is Bubba Hotep is an ancient Egyptian mummy that is terrorizing the old folks home, and they have to go on a mission to take care of it, this problem. Yes, it sounds absolutely ridiculous, but in reality, it's even more ridiculous than it sounds. It was based on a short story by one of my all-time favorite authors, Joseph R. Lansdale. And so here we go with the solicit on this new series written by Joseph Lansdale. So how exciting is that? From the mind of creator Joe R. Lansdale comes a prequel to the cult classic film. President Nixon has discovered an alien threat, and he knows there's only one man he can reach out to for help, Elvis Presley. But will Elvis be enough to defeat a horde of cosmic bloodsuckers? This is a prequel to the cult classic film, Bubba Hotep. A gore-splattered fun fest, says Publishers Weekly. I imagine this is going to be gory and subversive and just right up my alley. Not for the faint of heart, but if you enjoy B-movies and goofiness and ridiculousness, maybe this is for you. Bubba Hotep and the Cosmic Bloodsuckers from IDW. Check it out.
Hey everybody, this is Martin with Cosmic Times with my first pick of the month. I am all the way. My first pick doesn't come until page 175 in the IDW section. It's the Star Trek Discovery Annual 2018. I checked out the Star Trek Discovery issue 1 from the, I guess they're doing a 6-issue miniseries. It's all focused on the Klingons. It's not very interesting. I didn't really care for it. However, this looks like it's focused on the crew and the ship. And that's something that interests me, so I'm definitely going to check out Star Trek Discovery Annual 2018. If you like the show, it's worth checking out. It's pretty pricey though. It's $7.99. It's 48 pages. Not quite sure how that balances out. But yeah, definitely Star Trek Discovery Annual 2018 on page 175 of the IDW section.
Hey guys, it's Drew again, your co-host for the weekly Comic Spotlight and my very own Comics for Fun and Profit podcast. And this time I'm an IDW with a selection, Star Wars Adventures number 8, written by Sholly Fish, with art by Jamal Peppers, and a cover by Sean Galloway. What I'm most excited about is the backup, Tales from Wild Space, which is an Otis Frampton written and drawn backup feature, and it's featuring his Jawas characters that he's been pitching, and I'm hoping this is an inspiration and for IDW to pull him in full time and give him that title to do. But otherwise, I'm excited about his opportunity to do these backups here. Otis writes oddly normal and is he's a Wisconsinite, so he's a good friend of the guys from Cowabunga and patronizes their store and was at their last Comic-Con that they hosted. Really great guy. Looking forward. I want to support his backup feature here, and we're hoping he gets a series of his own to be able to stretch his muscles in his creative muscles in the Star Wars universe. So check that out. It's Star Wars Adventures number 8, and it is from IDW.
Hey everyone, this is Eric from Cowabunga Comics. I was just recently talking with John on our Slack channel about my 2018 resolution to contribute once a quarter to the Preview Spotlight episodes. So we're going to go ahead and kick off 2018 the right way in January with a couple of those. So my first pick is going to be Star Wars Adventures, number 8 on page 179. Now I know Drew was going to put in a solicit for this as well. I'm not sure if he went before me or if he's coming after me. But either way, I just want to call this one out specifically. We're going to be ordering extra of this in our shop because our good friend Otis Frampton is doing the Tales from Wild Space backup story in this issue, which is going to be a Jawa-featured issue. Those that don't know Otis should know that he has been drawing Jawas for a couple of years now. He's used them for a few different things. He had a little bit of artist and writer block going on, so he started using them as kind of a fun way to just keep himself going. He's also done Jawa work for Inktober, and he has also put out quite a few images previously with Marvel branding on them and now with IDW branding on them in hopes of catching somebody's eye with the idea of letting him have a chance at creating a Jawa comic. Well, IDW did, And that's what is going on with this book. So it's not going to be a full issue of Jawas, but it will be plenty of Utinis, I'm sure of it, in this backup story. And then for those of you that want to buy the 1 in 10 variant, Otis did a Jawa cover for the retailer incentive. Speak to your retailers about pricing on that, depending on where you're at and what you're doing, and maybe a little bit different. But just know that Otis Frampton is putting out the first, that I'm aware of, Jawa feature story in the backup Tales from Wild Space for Star Wars Adventures number 8 from IDW.
Hey, it's Heidi with Cosmic Times again. All right, I'm on page 189 this time, and I'm looking at the crow, Mento Mori. Mento? Mento is like the candy, right? Like you're going to drop it into a Diet Coke and it's going to go pow! No, I'm just kidding. I like the crow. I saw the crow when I was younger, and I actually really liked the movie. So I saw this, and I'm curious, what is this going to be like? I'm curious. Can't wait to check this one out. Again, so it's on page 189, and it's only $3.99. So, you know, just, you know, it's not like it's too much. You can check it out and whatever. The art looks interesting. The art's by, Werther, Della Edra and Angelo Melonino. Hope I said that right. Sorry guys, if I didn't. Yeah. So check it out too. All right. Bye.
This is Jerry again. I'm on page 191. I'm still in the IDW section, and I'm looking at The October Faction, Supernatural Dreams, number 1, written by Steve Niles, with art by Damian Worm. The October Faction is back. With their former leader and father retired, the rest of the Allen family adjusts to the new status quo and brings the monster hunting business into the modern era. But a sinister and powerful new evil stirs. One that could tear the family apart. The October Faction series, ongoing series, ran for about 18 issues or so a few years ago. I enjoyed it. Steve Niles is a horror writer, is outstanding. Think of things like 30 Days of Night. He recently did the Winnebago Graveyard miniseries over Image. He's got a very nice voice for horror. Damian Worm was the artist on the other series as well. His artwork is fantastic, but it's in that it's creepy and very dark, and it just fits well with the story. And it actually is not as dark and sinister a story as it would seem when you look at it and read the solicit. It's actually somewhat breezy when you read the October Faction, but I enjoy it, and I'm looking forward to, I don't know if this is a mini or if it's in the next whirl at a quote-unquote ongoing, but it's good to see the October Faction back from IDW Publishing. Check it out.
Hey guys, it's Heidi with Cosmic Times. I'm on page 199, and I'm looking at Ward's Valley, and it's about a grumpy gnome who's in the forest, and he just wants to be left alone, but all of the animals start coming into his yard. It kind of reminds me a lot of the retirees here in South Florida. You know, they come here, they want to be alone, the kids end up in their yard. Hey, kid, get off my lawn! So this is kind of like a gnome's version of that, I suppose. Let me see here. So it's by our friends at Top Shelf. We actually got to hang out with some of them at the Miami Book Fair, and they are very cool, always working on different projects and stuff. So we thought we would go ahead and give them a shout out. So again, it's on page 199. It's called Ward's Valley, and it's a trade paperback. It's $19.99. I know, but it looks great, and you should give it a shot. All right, thanks. Bye.
It's Drew with a pick from Image. It is Gideon Falls, number 1, written by Jeff Lemire, with art by Andrea Sorrentino. Big fan of Jeff Lemire's. Love his Royal City. Love Black Hammer. Read Descender for a long time. enjoying it, kind of. But he does a lot of stuff. Very prolific dude. So I'm really supporting it more for him. But I think Andrea Sorrentino's art is fantastic. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Two great things coming together. And the solicit's like something about a priest and in a small town and dark secrets, yada yada, mystery, urban, horror, whatever. I don't care. It's Jeff Lemire. Andrea Sorrentino art. I'm going to check it out, and I think you should too. It's Gideon Falls, number one, and it's from Image.
This is Nick Fenner with my next pick for the January previews catalog. This is from page 210 in the Image Comics section. Infidel, number one of five. A story, and you'll have to forgive me for the pronunciation of this name, by Pornsock Pichichote, and art by Aaron Campbell, colors by Jose Villarubia. The description for this new series says, a haunted house story for the 21st century. Infidel follows an American Muslim woman and her multiracial neighbors who move into a building haunted by entities that feed off xenophobia. And some PR material for this title, which I found online. This is some further description. Rife with political undertones, the new series will explore Islamophobia through a haunting and chilling story about one American Muslim woman and her multi-ethnic neighbors who move into a building haunted by creatures that feed on xenophobia. I'm a huge fan of horror and was really interested in a horror story that more accurately reflected the multiracial world we live in and the fears that seem to come with it, said Pichichote. Aaron, Jose, Jeff, and I are really trying to take a classic horror staple, the haunted house, and update everything about it, setting it in the heart of the city, giving it a multiracial cast where those backgrounds actually matter to the turns of our story, and centering our horror story around the very distinct fears of today. I've taken to calling Infidel political horror, and while we've been cooking this project for a while, the success of movies like Get Out make us optimistic that audiences will be as hungry to read something like this as we are to make it. Now, I don't usually pick stories like this, but it really does seem like it could be an interesting story to be told in this new beginning of 2018 with all that's going on in the world of politics and everything else going on around the world.
Brawlinator again, and I'm making a rare appearance in the Marvel previews. My first pick is right there on the cover. It's found on the first three pages. It's Infinity Countdown number one and Infinity Prime. That's the Zero issue. This is really the only ongoing at Marvel that's standing out for me that's new. There's one other that I'm picking up, although I'm cautiously hopeful that the new editor-in-chief, C.B. Cebulski, is going to start to remedy this for me. I was a Marvel zombie from way back. With Infinity Countdown, writer Jerry Dugan and artist Mike Diodato Jr. kick off this event with a prime issue. Dugan will then continue to script the story in the following five-issue miniseries with Aaron Cooter handling art. Wolverine and Captain Marvel are both represented on Diodato's cover art there for both the story's prime prologue and the first issue. The pair are seen holding the Space Stone and Reality Stone, or should I say Space Gem and Reality Gem, respectively. Some early art seemed to indicate that Star-Lord would possess the Power Gem, but it's come out that Gamora will actually be controlling it. I'm seeing online also that this series is merely a prologue to another storyline. It starts with the Guardians, then extends to the entire Marvel Universe. I'm a Thanos fan from way back, from the original Infinity Gauntlet, and I'm really looking forward to the Marvel Cinematic Universe's upcoming Avengers Infinity War film coming out in May. I think it's a good strategy for Marvel to have an event in the books that coincides with the movies, even if they aren't telling exactly the same story. Your mileage may vary. Again, the solicits are right there on the opening pages of the Marvel previews. I hope you'll check it out.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My only pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel section on pages 2 and 3. It's the Infinity Countdown number 1 of 5. It's written by Jerry Dugan, art by Aaron Cooter. Now, I'm just picking up this miniseries just for a fun read. And on page 2, you know, there's some preview art on this page, and it looks really good. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Infinity Countdown number 1. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
My next pick is on page 8 of the Marvel previews. It is Avengers 683, and it seems to be featuring the character that I think has been with the Avengers longer than anyone else. That's right, it's featuring Jarvis. Now, technically, Jarvis's life is hanging by a thread, but the Beast somehow is going to journey inside Jarvis's mind. Now, this is the older Beast, not the younger Beast, who's been playing with magic. Neither of which of these two Beasts, not to be confused with the Dark Beast, none of these three Beasts are telepathic. So how this Beast gets into Jarvis's head, I don't know. There's a part of me that's thinking Pym particles, but that's not quite going to do what I think it would need to do for this. But anyways, the Blue Beast of the Avengers and stuff, awesome character, love that character. Jarvis is one of the unsung heroes of the Avengers in my mind. Great character, and him having some kind of hidden secret or whatnot that could tear the Avengers apart or what have you. I'm curious what it is. It's Mark Waid writing. Mark Waid, Jim Zub, and Al Ewing. So they're rotating through because it's weekly or whatever. Anyways, this looks like a fun part of the No Surrender storyline. I think it's worth checking out. Should be a lot of fun. Once again, that's Avengers 683 on page 8 of the Marvel previews. Check it out.
Hey folks, Martin with Cosmic Times again. I am in the Marvel section, the Marvel pullout, I guess you should say, in the previous catalog. I am on page 14, and I am looking at Iron Man Hong Kong Heroes. What is this Iron Man Hong Kong Heroes all about? It seems to be a one-shot. Well, it's not necessarily a Marvel Universe story, and that's kind of what attracted me about it. It's actually based around the new Iron Man ride at Hong Kong Disneyland. And, you know, I'm a Disney fan, I'm a Marvel fan, I was so happy when the companies came together, and this represents pure Marvel Disney synergy. I kind of wish it was part of the actual Marvel continuity, but still, I want to check this out and see how it all ties into the ride that I probably won't get to for a bunch of years because I don't live in Hong Kong. But anyways, I'm recommending Iron Man Hong Kong Heroes number one. It's a one shot. It's $3.99 on page 14 of the catalog, of the Marvel section, I should say. And if you like Disney and if you like Marvel, check this one out.
My next pick is on page 18 of the Marvel previews, and it is spinning out of the Weapons of Mutant Destruction storyline that crossed over between the Totally Awesome Hulk and Weapon X, and this is Weapon H number 1. It basically continues to answer the question of what do you get if you cross Hulk-level power and strength with Wolverine-level claws, aggressiveness, and whatnot, and you wind up with yet another installment of the weapon whatever super soldier type stuff that the government in the Marvel Universe, American government in the Marvel Universe, keeps trying to do as if it's a good idea. Sure, Captain America is a great idea for the most part, but you look at pretty much everything they've done since then, and it's been, bit of a mess. And whoever thought, you know, crossing over the power and gamma radiation stuff of the Hulk with animanium claws and whatnot from Wolverine, I don't know, but it was a really great crossover, and I really like the character. I'm not the least bit surprised he's getting his own series. It looks to be an ongoing series. We will see how long it ongoes. Either way, we've got a solid creative team with Greg Pak and Corey Smith on it. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. I think it's worth checking out. If you have not caught that crossover storyline, it is no doubt collected in trade, and it is definitely worth reading. So once again, Weapon H number 1 on page 18 of the Marvel previews. Check it out.
Hey everyone, this is Eric back again with another pick. This time I'm in the Marvel section on page 40. And this month is March, is Venom True Believers Month for Marvel. True Believers, again, is the $1 lineup of comics that Marvel puts out. And this month it is all Venom, so there are a number of different options to choose from. But there's one in particular that I want to call out, and that is the famous issue of Amazing Spider-Man 300, Venom vs. Spider-Man. So for those of you that have always wanted this book, but maybe it's been a little bit out of your price range, now's your chance to get probably a fairly mint condition copy for $1 at your LCS. If you're a speculator, this is a book that you may want to keep an eye on. Amazing Fantasy 15 has gone up to as much as $30, I think, on the secondary market. So these True Believers books, while they only cost a dollar, they do have a potential for gaining a little bit of value. So there's a lot going on there. And for those of you that listen to Comics for Fun and Profit with Drew and Kyle, I'm going to have to twist the knife a little bit here, Drew. This would be your opportunity to get a whole long box full of ASM 300 so you won't have to hear any of us poke fun at you for selling yours low anymore. But irregardless of that, it features the amazing Todd McFarlane cover and obviously the Todd McFarlane work inside as well. It is an ASM 300, which is a very collectible book, and in often cases it's hard to find, or if it is, it's very expensive. So this would be your opportunity, as well as to pick up a number of other Venom books, key issues for Venom's first appearances, as well as major storylines that started and kicked off. So Maya's Venom, it's 30th anniversary month, so wow, what better way to celebrate it than $1 Venom issues. So again, Marvel page 40, go ahead and select that ASM 300, what they're calling True Believers Venom vs. Spider-Man number 1.
Hey guys, it's Drew with my pick from Marvel. And Marvel gets a lot of heat lately for shenanigans and such. But they are my most read publisher. I read more Marvel than anything else, and I pretty much like it all the stuff I read. So, for what that's worth, anyway, my pick for Marvel is Jessica Jones, number 18, and this is written by Brian Michael Bendis with art by Michael Gatos and a cover by David Mack. This is the last Jessica Jones from Brian Michael Bendis before he rides off into the sunset over to DC for his exclusive contract and plays with the toys over in that toy box. So if you've read any Jessica Jones, make sure you hop back and see what Brian has for the handing of the baton to the next creative team, what he does with Jessica, what he buttons up. It should be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm going to miss this title. I don't know what another creator could even do with this creation of Brian Michael Bendis's, but we'll see. And I'm going to give it a shot. But yeah, see his swan song for Jessica Jones. It's issue 18. It comes out March 7th, and it is $3.99.
Hey, Martin with Cosmic Times again. I am now on page, gosh, I guess it's 46 of the Marvel section. They really don't have page numbers in the left-hand pages. So I'm on page 46 of the Marvel section looking at Marvel 2-in-1 number 4. I just recently read Marvel 2-in-1 number 1, and it was spectacular. It was the Fantastic Four, well, the Fantastic Two, the way they should be written. And I'm looking forward to seeing where the story goes. Are we going to reunite with Reed and Sue? I have no idea where this story's going, and I love that about it. So if you haven't picked up issues 1, 2, or 3, and 4 is where you're going to start, I recommend doing it, because this is so far is off to a great start, and I think it's going to be a great series. And if you're a fan of the Fantastic Four, you can't turn away from this one. Actually, I'm so into this book right now, I'm going to look up other appearances of Ben and Johnny in other Marvel books, because I just want to read more about them. So anyways, I am recommending Marvel 2-in-1 number 4 on page 46 of the Marvel section. It's $3.99, 32 pages. If you like Fantastic Four, definitely check this one out.
This is Jerry once again, and I'm in the Marvel supplement on page 57, X-Men Red number 2, The Hate Machine part 2, written by Tom Taylor with art by Mahmoud Asrar and a cover by Travis Cherist, a personal favorite of mine. Jean Grey and her team must infiltrate a top-secret compound in order to save a mutant they've never met. They'll have to avoid guards armed with guns, protesters armed with hate, and sentinels armed with, well, slightly larger and more dangerous guns than the guards. All in a day's work for the newest X-Men team. I mentioned this book last month, and I thought I'd mention it again this month. Do we need another X-Men book? No. Do we need a really good X-Men book? Yes. Maybe this might be one to jump on and ride along for a little while and see how it goes. Tom Taylor is one of my personal favorite writers in comics right now. His work on Injustice at DC has been great. His work on All New Wolverine was a lot of fun. I really enjoy his writing, and I think this is something that's worth a shot. If you got a little X-Men itch that needs to be scratched, why not give X-Men Red a shot? And once again, the cover by Travis Charis of Nightcrawler, they show here in the catalog, is a real banger. I love Travis Charis. Takes me back to the old days and early 90s. Anyway, X-Men Red, number 2 from Marvel.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with a pick from the Marvel catalog on page 75 of that catalog. It's Marvel Masterworks, Captain America, Volume 10, hardcover. Oh, that cover alone brings back memories. It's the Return of the King. In 1975, Jack King Kirby came back to Marvel and his iconic creation, Captain America, as writer, artist, and editor. It was Kirby Unleashed, and the results were groundbreaking. Kirby created an intricate storyline that built month after month toward America's bicentennial, and Captain America number 200, the Mad Bomb Saga, featured an All right, you can read all this on your own. I'm sorry, sometimes I just cut myself short on these. The bicentennial. Okay, guys, how many of you can say that you were 15 years old during the bicentennial? 1976. Now, this brings back memories. It was the entire year of in the U.S. was focused on colonial days. It was just a huge celebration. The bicentennial was just so big, and having Jack Kirby back at Marvel was big. Okay, I've said it before. Kirby's artwork is amazing, and that is the key reason to read 70s Kirby, whether it's the DC stuff or his return to Marvel. But his writing proves in my mind that the debate over how much was written between Jack Kirby and Stan Lee during Marvel's heyday had to have been Stan Lee, because Jack Kirby's writing and plotting is, in my opinion, atrocious in those days. But it's goofy. That's for sure. It is goofy fun. And this book, featuring the Captain America, return from Jack Kirby, which led all through the bicentennial, with the Mad Bomb, it's worth it for the art. And it's worth it if you just want to have some good tongue-in-cheek fun. But I do not recommend the storytelling. I do recommend immensely the art. Is immensely a word in that sentence? Probably not. But I don't want to record this again. So everyone, enjoy.
Brawlinator again. I'm still in the Marvel previews. I'm back on page 95. Let me read the solicit. Before the Punisher was born in Vietnam, Frank Castle had already become a dark legend of the battlefield. Stories about him were told in whispers, if at all. Now the legendary creative team of Garth Ennis and Goran Parlov brings the first of those stories to light. The tale of Frank Castle's first command and his first kill. During the Tet Offensive, death surrounded Lieutenant Castle's platoon on all sides. How far would Frank go to protect his men, especially when the danger came from the indifference of his commanders? And while Castle was engaged in the grind of war, a kindred spirit on the enemy side watched and waited. It's a seemingly hopeless mission. It's Lieutenant Castle's first platoon. It's the answer to the question, what made the Punisher? It's Garth Ennis, so what more do you want? And Goran Parlov's art is absolutely spot on incredible. There's an interesting tidbit about this critically acclaimed series too. When it was first solicited, it had a parental advisory warning for content, but before publication, Marvel changed its rating to explicit content. And unfortunately for digital readers, Marvel doesn't allow explicit content titles to be downloaded from its app. You had to get the floppies. Now you can get this 136-page trade paperback, which collects Punisher the Platoon 1 through 6. Check it out for yourself. It's on page 95 of the Marvel Preview Supplemental. Brawlinator again, and can you believe it? I'm still in the Marvel Previews. This is actually going to be my final solicit this month. It's on page 102. It's Agents of Atlas. Atlas, the complete collection, Volume 1 from Jeff Parker and Leonard Kirk and others. This collects quite a bit of material, actually. Let me run it down real quick. It collects What If, Volume 1 from 1977, Issue Number 9, Agents of Atlas 1 through 6, the series from 2006, X-Men First Class Number 8, also from 2006, Wolverine Agent of Atlas 1 through 3, and Agents of Atlas 1 through 5 from 2009, and Agents from Atlas Menace from Space novella, material from Spider-Man Family Number 4 from 07, Secret Invasion, Who Do You Trust, Dark Reign, New Nation, Marvel Mystery Comics Number 82, Venus Number 1, Marvel Boy Number 1 from 1950, Men's Adventures 26, Menace 11, and Yellow Claw 1. Boy, this does sound like a complete collection. Let me read the solicit. The spy, the spaceman, the goddess, the robot, the gorilla. In the 1950s, FBI agent Jimmy Woo forged a team of unlikely heroes for espionage operations. Now, half a century later, the agents of Atlas return to take the Marvel Universe by storm. Woo, Marvel Boy, Venus, the Human Robot, and Gorilla Man battle the Yellow Claw, face down Norman Osborn's Dark Reign, and encounter Spider-Man, Wolverine, and the X-Men, plus the Agents Amazing Atlas era debuts. If you aren't familiar with the Agents of Atlas, they were first assembled in 1958 by FBI agent Jimmy Woo to help free President Eisenhower from the clutches of the villainous Yellow Claw. After liberating the president, they continued to act as a team together for 6 months on various missions on behalf of the government. They were eventually forced to disband out of fear of their very existence becoming public knowledge and inciting fear and paranoia across the country. The Agents of Atlas first appeared as the Avengers in the 1950s when they were created by Roy Thomas, Don Glut, and Jack Kirby in What If Number 9 in a loosely canon tale which depicts their origin, and that's also included in this trade. This collection is 488 pages and will be going in my collection. Check it out for yourself on page 102 in the Marvel Previews. And thank you, John. I'm looking forward to this episode, and I'll see you guys in the forums at comicbookpage.com.
Billy Hogan again. My eighth and final pick in this month's previews comes in the back half on page 262 from Abstract Studios. Strangers in Paradise 25, number 2. Writer, story, and cover artist Terry Moore. A former Parker girl is writing an expose that will destroy Kachu and Francine's life. Kachu is determined to stop the writer, but to do that, she'll have to find her. Fortunately, Tamby knows the best bounty hunter in the world, Ivy Raven from Echo. Things are heating up, folks, and we're just getting started. It's 24 pages, black and white, with a color cover for $3.99. I've been reading Terry Moore's stories ever since issue 74 of Strangers in Paradise, so I was late to that series. But ever since, I've read anything Terry Moore has published because he's never done a bad issue. He always knows the right balance of character development, story progression, so that every issue you have a satisfying reading experience. So I would recommend checking out Strangers in Paradise 25, number 2, as well as going back and getting the collected editions of the first Strangers in Paradise. I think there's about 6 volumes or so, as well as his follow-up series Echo and Rachel Rising. Back to you, John, and thanks once again for providing this forum where we can all share our love and enthusiasm for the comic book medium.
My next pick is on page 275 of the previews catalog. It is Monstro Mechanica number 4. Now, Drew and I recently reviewed this on Weekly Comics Spotlight number 540. I really enjoyed it, gave it an A for the first issue. Drew gave it a B. He also enjoyed it, not quite as much as I did, but both of us thought it was a lot of fun and worth checking out, I think. So I felt obligated to mention it because it was a really great pick that Eric from Cowabunga had pointed out to me early on. So if for some reason you still missed this and it's an Aftershock book, it's in the back half, it's not necessarily going to be at all the stores, so it's perfectly reasonable that you missed it. Check it out. I thought it was a really great, nice, clean art style, a nice, fun, entertaining story about Leonardo da Vinci, his apprentice, and their wooden robot. So once again, that's Monstro Mechanica number 4 on page 275 from Aftershock Comics. Check it out.
My next pick's in the back half. It's Tinseltown number one. This is from Alterna Comics. Alterna Comics, the young upstart publishing house that's has the audacity to print on newsprint at low, low prices and to less than stellar success. But I still am pounding my fist on the table to support their titles. If they tickle your fancy in any way, make sure you pre-order those because most publishers aren't going to bring them in unless you tell them to. So Tinseltown number one is written by David Lucarelli, with art by Henry Pochiana. And it tells the story of Abigail Moore, one of the first female police officers in Hollywood. And it has a kind of a whodunit in old Hollywood tale that's kind of cool, a la Ed Brubaker, when he covered that as well. So this is circa 1915. So if you like period piece and whodunits and procedurals, this might be right up your alley. I'm excited about this. Check out Tinseltown, number one from Alterna. Oh, by the way, it's $1.50, and your discounts mileage may vary, so you may be paying less than a dollar for it. So please, you got to check that out. At least sample it, right? So Tinseltown number one from Alterna. Give it a look.
My next pick is on page 278 from Alterna Comics. It is Zero Jumper number one. Now, the premise here is that there is a ancient power source that can manipulate time and space, and the last human embarks on a journey to find it because her mission is to go back in time and save humanity from extinction. Now, it may cost her her life, but that's her mission. Seems like an interesting premise. Again, I'm into the time travel stuff. Looks like a lot of fun. And this is a 4-issue limited series. The cover price is $1.50. So for $6, you're going to get the entire run of the 4 issues and stuff. That seems pretty affordable and pretty low risk. And that's if you order all of them, and you may just sample the first or whatever. Either way, Zero Jumper number one seems like a lot of fun from Alterna Comics. I think it's worth giving a shot to. I do want to support these comics that are at the lower price point. I've enjoyed some of what they've been doing and stuff, and this looks like it'll be potentially right up my alley. So once again, that's Zero Jumper number one from Alterna Comics on page 278. Check it out.
This is Nick Fenner with my next pick for the month from the previews catalog. Page number 289. This is in the Archie section. Vampironica number one. It looks like it's co-scripted by Greg and Megan Smallwood, with the interior art and cover work done by Greg Smallwood. This new ongoing series is described like this. When Veronica is bitten by a centuries-old vampire, her thirst for blood threatens to turn Riverdale into a haven for the undead. Will she put an end to the vampire threat or give in to her bloodlust? This is going to be a $3.99 comic book, and looks to be continuing on the line of turning some of your beloved Archie characters into horror monsters and seeing how those characters in that universe will react. So, should be fun.
This is Jerry once again, and I'm on page 353 in the catalog in the Darby Pop Publishing section, and I'm looking at Bruce Lee, The Walk of the Dragon one-shot, written by Shannon Lee, that's Bruce Lee's daughter, and Various, art by Brandon McKinney, Zach Atkinson, with the cover art by John Hahn. Philosopher, teacher, real-life superhero Bruce Lee is back. And let's be honest, the world needs him now more than ever. Taking a brief respite from battling an otherworldly evil, Bruce Lee attempts to navigate modern-day Southern California despite still suffering from amnesia and having been out of the loop for over 45 years. Unfortunately, what was supposed to be a simple lunch run soon turns into a comedy of errors involving mistaken identity, a film festival, and the pokey. And despite never being one to initiate fisticuffs, Bruce continues to find it difficult to both hide his martial arts skills and keep his shirt on. Full color, 32 pages, $3.99. Darby Pop published about 4 issues or so of a Bruce Lee comic about a year and a half ago, and it was great. I loved it. It's kind of an all-ages, action-y, fun series. I compared it at the time on a previews spotlight to Jackie Chan Adventures comic or a cartoon in comic book form, and I loved it. I wish they could have kept it going. That's what's so tough with some of these small companies and independent books is if they could, some of them you love and then they just can't keep them going and then they just fade out and fizzle away. I keep looking every month for a Bruce Lee comic to come back, and I'm glad to see one this month, even if it is just a one-shot. Hopefully at some time soon they can bring it back and continue the story they were telling in the other series. Anyways, it's fun stuff. It's all ages, and I recommend checking out Bruce Lee, The Walk of the Dragon, one-shot from Darby Pop Publishing.
My next pick is also on page 353, and it is also Bruce Lee, The Walk of the Dragon, one-shot. Now, I enjoyed the couple of issues they came out with a year or so back, or 2 years ago, whenever it was. It seems like forever ago, but I don't think it was that long ago. And they had a nice, fun take on Bruce Lee. It was kind of, I guess, the iconic persona of him, if you will. And talk about one of the legendary movie martial artists. There's Bruce Lee, there's Jackie Chan, and beyond that, it really kind of drops off. I mean, there are some other contenders, don't get me wrong, but none like those two. And Bruce Lee really set the mold by which all others, including Jackie Chan, have been judged. And I think the comparison that Jerry made to the Jackie Chan adventures was apt. It's not identical to it. It's a Bruce Lee version of it. I want to see more of the Bruce Lee comics they're doing. It's a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to this one, and I hope we get more after this one shot. Once again, that's the Bruce Lee, The Walk of the Dragon one shot from Darby Pop Publishing on page 353. Check it out.
This is Nick Fenner with my next pick of the month from the January previews catalog, coming from page 380 in the Lion Forge section. It is Puerto Rico Strong. This is going to be an anthology celebrating Puerto Rican culture, history, strength, and pride. The solicitation reads, Puerto Rico Strong is a comics anthology that explores what it means to be Puerto Rican and the diversity that exists within that concept from today's most exciting Puerto Rican comics creators. All profits will go towards disaster relief and recovery programs to support Puerto Rico. It's going to be 160 pages in full color, priced at $12.99, and it is advised for people ages 14 and up. Now, what I think is great about this, for most people probably realize that Puerto Rico was damaged pretty heavily by the hurricanes this past summer, but as a kind of our American cousins, you know, I don't think a lot of people really know much about Puerto Rico, especially anything like comics coming out of Puerto Rico. So this should really be a great way for us mainland Americans to learn more about our neighbors and friends to the south.
Hey, it's Heidi with Cosmic Times again. I'm on page 384, 385 of the previews catalog, and I'm looking at The Lost Path. The art in this is just spectacular, and the story sounds really interesting. You know, kids out in the woods that get lost, and they're caught between some warring forest spirits. I don't know. Sounds interesting. Yeah, so we should check it out. It's actually the same people that did The Little Red Wolf, which I think I recommended a couple of previews back, I think. Yeah, so here we go. So it's The Lost Path. It's on page 384. It's 96 pages. It's hardcover. It's $19.99. Yeah, so we should check that out. All right, thanks. Bye.
This is Nick Fenner with my final pick for the month from the January previews catalog, page 394, in the Oni Press section. Now, with this being a new year, I decided to try a few new things, and this would actually be my first Oni Press comic that I've read, so hoping for something interesting here. It is The Ballad of Sang No. 1, written by Ed Brisson, with art by Alessandro Michelli, who's also making his American Comics debut here. Described as sort of a martial arts movie comic here, the solicitation reads, kidnapped off the streets of the Philippines as an infant and trained as a child assassin, Sang has never had a childhood. All he's ever known is killing and the kindness of his master Chin, the closest thing Sang has to a father. When Sang's enthusiasm botches a job, it brings the wrath of Don Mancello down on the pier, resulting in Chin's murder. Barely escaping with his own life, and with Mancello's severed arm in tow, Sang swears revenge, while every gang in the city mobilizes to return him to Mancello, dead or alive. Now, there's some pretty kinetic comic art displayed here in the previous catalog as well. There is some violence, and it does look like some cursing involved in there, so the comic is listed as being for mature readers. And some additional information I found online says that this will be a 5-issue miniseries, so I'm assuming that is correct. The first issue, 32 pages, at $3.99. Have a happy new year, everyone.
It's Drew. I'm still in the back of previews with my next pick from Scout Comics. It's Welcome to Paradise number 1. This is written by A.C. Medina with art by Morgan Kendrick Sawyer. This is pitched as the good, the bad, and the ugly set in an underground bunker the size of California. And it's got, so that's its post-apocalyptic take. I read a lot of those type of books, so this is a little twist on that. Now, Morgan Sawyer's art, I'm assuming based on the cover that that's also him that's on the inside, I'm hoping, very reminiscent of Sean Murphy's art. Let's get the kind of the angular style, clean look to it. So I'm hoping that's like that throughout. But this, from the solicit, kind of gives me a Fuse feel. As well, you know, inside a confined space, although California is pretty big, but it's inside of a finite space, and there is some of the elements that go along with that. So I think there's something to be had here. It might be an interesting story. Some of the Scout stuff has been pretty good, so I'm willing to give this publisher a look. So if that sounds good, check out Welcome to Paradise number 1 from Scout Comics and see if it's for you.
Hey everybody, Martin from Cosmic Times again with my final pick of the month. This is back in the Titan section. It's on page 418, and I am looking at Sea of Thieves, 1 of 4. Apparently it's based on a video game. I don't know anything about the video game. I don't play video games, but the book looks great. The art looks spectacular, and I am down for a good pirate story.
Yo-ho, pirate's life for me.
Anyways, so this is the story. It looks like it's about two pirate crews, and they're after an ancient treasure. And frankly, that sounds exciting, and awesome to me. So I'm recommending check out Sea of Thieves, number 1 of 4. Unfortunately, you won't have Heidi doing the Pirates of the Caribbean thing in the background when you're reading it. But you know what? Shoot her a message on Facebook. Maybe she'll call you up and sing Pirates while you're reading the book.
Call me.
Anyways. I'm recommending again Sea of Thieves, number 1 of 4 in the Titan section on page 418. I'm checking it out, and I recommend you do the same.
This is Drew with my final pick. It comes from Valiant Entertainment. It is Quantum and Woody, number 4. This is written by Daniel Kibblesmith, art by Kano, and a cover by Jeff Shaw. And John and I reviewed the first issue of this relaunch of the title, and it was a lot of fun and really got me excited for this title again. So I am this will be the only Valiant title I am currently reading, so I'm glad to be able to support them in some way, and all the other stuff kind of lost my way on. So I'm hoping this is a sign of good things to come for the relationship between Valiant and myself, and maybe I'll be reading more of their stuff in the future. But for now, I know I like Quantum and Woody. Really enjoyed that first issue. So please support their title. I am going to go with the cover B, Ultra Foil cover, because they do the wacky covers, and they are fun and independently orderable. So that's kind of cool. So Quantum and Woody 4 from Valiant Entertainment. Check it out.
Hi, Comic Book Page listeners. This is Darren Henry. Like you, I'm a big fan of John's podcasts, as well as a comic book reader since before I could actually read. For the past 23 years, I've also worked as a TV sitcom writer on shows like Futurama and Seinfeld, as well as my current series, Casey Undercover. I'm sharing all this with you to help explain why this month I'm launching a brand new comic book company called Sitcomics. But you won't find my new line of humor comics in previews. Instead, I've created an all-new, all-different distribution system called Sell-Through Distribution. Over 125 shops in all 50 states and Canada, including the Comic Book Page's good friends at Cowabunga Comics, are giving out free copies of Sitcomics' 8-page solicitation guide called the 2018 Binge Book Catalog. Each binge book delivers a 64-page self-contained story for only $3.99. I'm using my background in TV writing to write the stories in collaboration with some amazing artists, including Marvel icons Ron Frenz and Sal Buscema, longtime Betty and Veronica artist Jeff Schultz, and Mad Magazine's Tom Richmond. You can find details and plot summaries for all of this year's binge books, along with the rapidly growing list of sell-through retailers at www.sitcomics.net. You only have until January 25th to submit your order to a participating retailer, but instead of the usual 3-month wait between solicitation and on-sale date, you'll be able to read your new binge books less than a week later on January 31st. I hope you'll give sell-through distribution and the binge book format a chance. But most of all, I hope you'll give me and Sitcomics a chance to entertain you with some fun, accessible, mainstream comics. Thanks for listening, and thanks to John for giving me a chance to talk to you all.
Aloha, guys. It's Jason from Hawaii. It's a brand new year, and it's a great jumping on point, you know, to submit clips to future preview spotlight episodes, you know, for 2018. I'm encouraging, you know, longtime listeners and new listeners, you know, again, to submit a clip or two clips, you know, to a future preview spotlight episode. You know, again, please check out the Comic Book Page forum on how to record a clip, you know, and when the clips are due. These clips are fun to do. You know, all you got to do is just say, hey, you know, I like this comic. It's written by, you know, so-and-so and drawn by so-and-so. And this is why, you know, I like reading this comic. Yeah, so again, you know, if you guys get a chance, you know, please submit a clip or two clips, you know, to, you know, future preview spotlight episodes. And also too, if you have not signed up for the Comic Book Page Slack channel, now's a good time to join in on the conversation. You know, it's great. You know, I'm having a lot of fun, you know, talking about, you know, comics and comic related news, you know, with people, you know, around the world, basically. And sometimes it's in real time, which is pretty cool. So it's either you guys can, you know, join in, either go to the Comic Book Page forum and sign in up there, or just go to comicbookpage.hero, H-E-R-O-K-U-A, P as in Paul, P as in Paul, .com. It's free to join. You know, you can access the channel from your desktop app or your mobile app. So again, so if you guys get a chance, you know, please submit a clip or two, you know, to future preview spotlight episodes. And also too, you know, join in on the conversation on the Comic Book Page Slack channel. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John. Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. I'm just doing my shout-out clip for the last preview spotlight episode, and that was episode 122. My shout-out goes to Brawlinator. Brawlinator, I love the clip that you did for Action Comics 1000. That was an awesome clip. And also, too, you know, I also love the clip that you did on the Afterlife with Archie Volume 2 trade paperback. That was hilarious. Again, both your clips were great, Brawlinator. You know, and I want to thank everyone for listening to my clips. I look forward to hearing everyone's recommendations for this episode. Until next time, aloha.
Hey everyone, this is Eric with Cowabunga Comics again. Just wanted to give one little wrap up and shout out here. Basically, I just wanted to say thanks to everyone for sending in your clips and being a part of this show. I know every month I enjoy listening to what everybody has put out there, and usually I wish that I had contributed as well. So for those of you that don't contribute but have thought about it, go ahead and do it. It doesn't take much time. There's instructions on the form if you need to know how to do it, or you can just use your phone and record. But either way, it's really a great episode, and it's a lot of fun for me as a shop owner to listen to what people are interested in, and it does, in fact, make a difference in how we order certain things. So keep that up. I really appreciate it. Secondly, some of you may have heard over the last few months that Cowabunga Comics has gotten into the mail order subscription service line of things, along with many other online retailers. And it's true, we are doing it. We have a little bit different setup in that we don't have the fully elaborate website yet, but we have a lot of the same deals and pricing that we can offer. So if anyone is interested in reaching out and hearing about more of what we have, please do. There's obviously no requirement to buy through us or anything like that. We're just another option that's out there. And you know what, maybe down the road, James and I will do a little recording about what adding the online subscription component does for our store so that you all can get a little bit of a view into that. But as for now, I'll just leave it to say that we're here, we've put our hat in the ring, and we're happy to be your LCS if you're looking for one, or at least contribute to whatever it is that you're collecting, reading, buying, whatever it be. And then also, as we start 2018, I just wanted to thank, most importantly, thank John, but as well thank Kay, Drew, Sam, TJ, and all of you that contributed over the last year to make Comic Book Page Podcast what it was. It was, in my opinion, one of the best years yet of the podcast. There's a lot of amazing and great information that came out, a lot of new discussion on topics that, while have been going on for multiple years, have started to get a new angle and a new lens, which I think is great. So, John and everybody else, thank you so much for doing everything that you do and for putting this out. And I look forward to hearing what everybody's picked for this month and what's coming up in the episodes to follow. Thanks, everyone. Have a great month.
Hopefully everybody found something they were excited about in this month's previews. Again, there's tons and tons of stuff, so if you didn't find something, mention it on the Slack channel, the forum, whatever. Let's see if we can help you out. There's just an amazing wealth of material coming out these days. I firmly believe there's something for everybody out there. It just may be a little hard finding it sometimes. Alas, I did not have much of a problem this time. I had a fairly full order as usual. Breaking down a little heavier to DC than Marvel with, again, a roughly three-way split between DC, Marvel, and everybody else. I think I had two items from Dark Horse, about 74 from DC, about 11 from IDW, 9 from Image, about 71 from Marvel, and about 45 from the back half. At least as of when I pulled the numbers off my order form. The order initially came up pretty high, even after I factored in the bundles, it was still close to $700, and I'm like, ooh, well, that's a little much. So I trimmed one or two things. Part of why it is so high is the artist edition for The Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck Volume 2 finally is coming out after about a two or three-year period, and that's a pretty big ticket item, but I got that. I want to thank Nicholas for mentioning that Puerto Rico Strong item. I totally missed that when I went through the solicits the first time. I've added that to my order form. It just seems like a great way we can support the relief efforts in Puerto Rico and stuff. They were very much devastated by the hurricanes and stuff, and frankly, the response to help them out from the government was not what it should have been. So anything we can do to help out just seems like the right thing to do. And, you know, hey, maybe I'll learn some more about what it means to be Puerto Rican and something, because I don't know. I'm not Puerto Rican. But it's a great part of the United States, and we should treat them with respect and help them out after that devastating weather, because sooner or later, no matter where you live in the world, some catastrophe is going to happen, and you're going to need to reach out to either fellow country members or other people on the planet to help out, and it's the least we could do to throw a couple of dollars towards a project that the efforts are going to the relief stuff. So thanks again for pointing that out, Nicholas. I had completely missed that. Also, I want to recommend everybody check out the Binge Book catalog that Darren mentioned. I've been chatting with him over email and in person a couple of times over the years. I'm very excited about what he's got going, and I think his approach to getting stuff into the stores by kind of doing a going around Diamond just makes a lot of sense. I don't think it's necessarily the way the entire industry should go. But I also don't think the entire industry should be so reliant on any one distributor. Diamond's doing a good job, but I remember when Future Comics came out and had a little bit of a different approach than what Darren's got, but also didn't go through Diamond initially, and they came out with some great stuff. I thought it was a good business model and whatnot, and I really think that looking outside the box at other ways the retail mechanism can work is needed. I'm not a huge fan of the pre-order cycle of a couple of months and all this and whatnot. The allocation of risk is not where I think it ought to be. It puts too much on the retailers and such, and sometimes not enough on the publisher. So when you've got a publisher who's willing to go straight to the stores and hopefully make everything work out for everybody, I'm all for that. Drew and I will be reviewing one of those books from Sit Comics in a few weeks over on the Weekly Comics Spotlight. I'm looking forward to doing that. Speaking of retailers, Eric over at Cowabunga had mentioned in one of his last clips there that they have started doing mail order comics and such. I've known Eric for a while now. Talked to him face to face at a couple of conventions. He's the one who set up the Slack channel for us. He is a great guy. The Cowcast is the podcast they do for their store, and I recommend you listen to that. They've got a really great insight as to how things look from a retailer perspective. Eric and James are both great guys. I completely feel comfortable recommending them as a source for mail order comics. And anyone who's thinking, but John, you shop at DCBS. Well, actually, I switched. I've still got a couple of things that'll be coming through DCBS, and I'm still very happy with DCBS. They're a great company. They've done a lot of things, I think, to keep people in the hobby that otherwise might have fallen out. They're a excellent company, and one I would be happy to go back to. It just, for a couple of reasons, made sense for me to take my business over to Cowabunga. They're obviously a smaller store than DCBS, which I'm thinking is probably one of the largest, if not the largest, accounts over at Diamond, which, hey, congratulations to Christine and Cameron over at DCBS for building up an incredibly strong business and doing a great job with it. It just seemed like if I can, you know, throw my business, the couple of dollars of it or whatever, over towards Cowabunga and, you know, help them kind of spin up the mail order stuff as a customer and give them some feedback or whatever. Yeah, why not? I like those guys. I like what they're doing with their store, with their podcast, and I want to support them. And I've actually gotten two shipments from them already. My first last week pretty much had previews, Usagi Yojimbo, and one or two other things. And then I just, in the course of the last half hour or so, before recording this part, but after editing most of the rest of this episode, went through my second shipment, which was kind of the first full week of comics and stuff. They came packed solidly in bubble wrap, well-protected, bagged, boarded. It was just a breeze to go through, check stuff off my list. And again, I expect nothing less from the guys at Cowabunga. They don't, like they said, have the web store and stuff like DCBS has, but DCBS didn't have everything it had back when I started working with them too. Both companies are really good, as are, you know, as is supporting your local retailer and such. It's one of those things though that with the number of comics I buy, going online, getting a discount and pre-ordering, that works for me. It may not work for everybody. I've also had some times where I'm shopping at a local store that has just been a terrific experience. And the bottom line is do what works for you. Whichever retailer you're dealing with, you know, treat them with respect and give them the courtesy, if you can, of letting them know ahead of time what comics you want to where they can make sure they've got them on the shelves when you come in to go pick them up when they're released. So, that having been said, I want to thank Billy, Chris, Darren, Drew, Eric, Heidi, Jason, Jerry, Martin, Nicholas, and Todd for sending in clips. These episodes would be significantly shorter without them, and it would just be me kind of talking about the comics I'm getting, which you hear about on the Weekly Comic Spotlight anyways. Granted, that's after the fact, not before the fact, but you get the idea. Our next Comic Book Page teleconference is going to be on Saturday, January 13th at 7 p.m. Central Time. That is this coming Saturday evening, if you listen to this episode right when it first comes out on the Wednesday the 10th. The next previews is scheduled to come out on January 31st. Yeah, January 31st. It's these 5-week months sometimes throw me. And what that means is the Deadline for the next preview spotlight will be Saturday, February 10th. Pretty sure that's the date I gave on the weekly comic spotlight when it last came up. If not, it's what I should have given. And then ask your retailer when they need to have information to, what you're going to get out of this preview so they can order accordingly. Some need it sooner than others, depending on both how automated there are and just, whatever else they've got going on. The last thing you want to do is wait until the very last minute, you know, or even after they've placed their orders to say, ooh, I want these things, because then they may not be able to get it for you. And the whole point here is, like I said, to get everybody the comics they want so we can support our retailers, our publishers, our creators, and enjoy our comics. So with that, one final reminder that we do have an open submission policy for the preview spotlight episodes. Everybody is welcome to contribute, including creators, publishers, marketing people at companies, retailers, whatever. If you're a store owner and you're listening to this podcast, send in a clip and at the end of it, mention your store and how people can find you, your website and stuff like that. I'm frankly constantly amazed how many businesses in the comic industry don't take advantage of this free venue to get the word out about their products and their services. All you got to do is spend a few minutes recording it. You've just listened to a couple of clips. It's not that hard. It does take a few minutes, and I get that not everybody can do it every month. But if over the course of the year you send in a clip and all the listeners do that, we'll get a pretty good sense of what people are reading, what they're enjoying, and hopefully get some people hooked on some stuff they wouldn't have known about otherwise. So with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.